Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, we're going to continue on talking about answered prayer. I don't know about you, but, you know, I want answered prayer. I don't, you know, it's one thing to pray, it's another thing to get answers. And so I'm praying for answers. And so last time, we're just calling answered prayer one, answered prayer two, three, four as we go along. But we've got subtitles, and we're going to talk about this morning word-based and how our prayers need to be based on the Word. And so we're going to look at some things this morning and just take a little time here to get into this. Thank God. I think it's just really a privilege and honor that God would let us just come into His throne room with request. I mean, we have free access to the God of heaven to ask Him whatever we desire. It's according to His will, right?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to talk about this and how our prayers need to be word-based. And I think as we do, maybe the Lord will show us areas where, you know, we're praying for some things and we haven't really brought the Word into play on what we're asking for. And we need to do that. Let's go here to John. Excuse me. 1 John, chapter 5. I want to read a couple of verses there. These are verses we've looked at in the past, but, you know, we're going to look at them again today. Look at them some other time as we preach. We're not going to be done with them. 1 John chapter 5. Let's go there. And verse 14, are you there?
Amen.
All right, give you just a few moments to find that. 1 John 5:14. The Bible says, "For this is the confidence that we have in Him," or you could say this is the faith that we have in Him, "that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Well, what's His will? Well, His Word's His will, right? And if we know, notice this, if we know that He hears us, well, how do we know whether He heard us or not? How do we know? Well, if it was His Word, He heard us. If it was according to His Word, He heard us. If we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. Thank God. Amen. So, you know, John here said, you know, the confidence that we can have in prayer is when we know His will. A lot of church doesn't know His will because they haven't checked His Word out. You would be surprised how many churches in America don't know the will of God when it comes to prayer. They don't know whether it's His will to heal or not. He might not. They don't know whether it's His will to meet their needs or not. They don't know that. Why? Because they haven't checked the Word.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But we're to base our prayers on the Word.
Yeah.
What's the Word say about it?
Come on.
What's the Word say about it? Mm-hmm. How many know we're not to base our prayers on our feelings?
Right.
Has anybody ever had times of prayer where, man, you felt the presence of God?
Amen.
I have. Has anybody ever had times of prayer where you didn't feel the presence of God? I'm telling you, there's been times I've come to preach and I felt the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? I felt His presence. There's times I thought, we short one today. And then get up there and something happened. So you can't base it on your feelings. How many know all feelings do is tell you how you feel? Now, I've awakened in the morning. I'm sure you're just as human as I am. But I've awakened in the morning and I felt down. No reason. And for the day's over, I felt up. No reason. I thought, well, you can't live by that. You can't live by feelings. Because, you know, they're fickle. They come and go. I can change your feelings in a heartbeat. I'm sure if I gave you $1,000, it'd change your feelings. At least temporarily. I'm not going to do it, so... That probably changed your feelings right there.
Yeah.
See, feelings are fickle, right? So we can't base our prayer like, oh, we used to. I mean, I'd hear old Pentecost, oh, I feel God, feel God. Well, listen, I am always happy when that happens, when His anointing shows up. But we can make a mistake by thinking that is the signature sign we got a prayer answered.
Right.
Because He loves you and He'll show up even when you're stupid.
Yeah.
Right? So you may be praying a dumb prayer and God said, I just love you. Show up, but that doesn't mean the prayer is going to get answered if it's not based on the word. Right? See, there's a lot of things people have asked for, just things that they're not word-based. They're just dumb. And some people ought to know they're just dumb, you know. Because, I mean, I've actually heard this, really. I've heard ministers say that people have come up to them before and asked them to pray with them and agree with them that God would give them another wife. Yes, sir. I know one particular preacher, and that happened in his prayer line where he was praying for people. And he got to one guy and said, what do you need? And the guy said, well, I want you to pray with me and agree with me that God will give me another wife. Well, the word another tipped him off. You know, if he just said, God, give me a wife, and you think, well, God doesn't have a wife. But when he says another one, that means you got one. You're not supposed to have two.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Well, David had several. Well, you ain't David. And who's to say he was right anyway? No, when God did it, he took a rib, not spare ribs, out of Adam. That's the way God designed this thing. Man's the one that got it off, not God.
Come on.
Come on. You know. So, you know, he just told the guy, get out of my line, you're a nut. He asked him some other things, said some other things to him too, but I won't say those this morning. But anyway, it's like, this is not scriptural. Amen. And so a lot of times we're praying for things and we don't have any word on it. Or maybe it is scriptural, but because we don't have any word on it, we don't have any confidence. You see what I'm saying? It could be according to the will of God, but the Bible says if we know, we have to know He heard us. Right? If we don't know He heard us, even if He did hear us, but if we don't know He heard us, we don't have confidence. And it's not going to come to pass. We have to know He heard us. Well, how are we going to know He heard us? Well, if we ask something according to His will. So God is pleased when we find out what He thinks about something before we ever come to Him about that. How many understand that? So you got to do your research. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's certain politicians, I wouldn't petition them over anything because I know what they already think about it. They're not going to help. Because I know their will. They've already revealed their will. Well, God has already revealed His will and His word. And so we have to go to the word and find out what He said about it. And when we find out what He said about it, then we can come with confidence. Hallelujah. And then we can know. Everybody say no. We know we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. So we got to watch this thing about this feelings things too. Because, you know, sometimes people think, well, I felt like God answered my prayer. Well, I've had those times too, but I've also had those times too where I just felt like nothing happened. I felt like it was dead. I felt like blah. And you know what? That prayer got answered quickly. So it didn't have anything to do with the feelings. Amen. You know, there's times in services I feel the presence of God more than I do at other times. That doesn't mean God's not there when I don't feel Him. Matter of fact, He might be there to work stronger when I don't feel Him. Thank God for feelings. I like them. I've had goosebumps. But I've also known this. Things in the natural give me feelings. There's times I have a good steak. I'll talk about it for hours afterwards. I'm not making this up. My wife can tell you. Like the next day, ooh, that was so good. She's moved on. You know what I'm saying? She's like, well, I haven't moved on yet. I'm still enjoying this. Praise God. Is there any other guys like that in here? Or am I the only one? All right. Thank you, Teach. All right. So you understand. So that's all natural stuff. That's all feelings. Feelings come and go. Feelings come and go. Man, you can be made mad 1 minute and then made happy the next minute. All that's doing is telling you how you feel about something. It's not telling you what God thinks about it. God's word tells you what He thinks about it.
Right.
Amen. Now, you know, I've prayed for healing and things and so forth, or prayed for people and so forth, or prayed for myself, you know, and feel something. You know, and I've prayed for people before, you know what I'm saying? I've prayed for people before. And I tell you, I didn't feel an ounce of anointing and they got healed.
Come on.
I'm thinking, well, I guess I don't know everything. And then there's times I've felt the presence of God. And they got healed. And there's times I felt the presence of God and nothing happened. Oh, Lord, I can't base it on that. It comes down to the Word. Amen. So, you know, thank God for God's presence. Thanks God for His anointing. But it comes down to what the Word say, whether I feel like it or not. Amen. There's times when I preach, I feel anointed. I said this one Sunday. I said, you know, there's times that I can tell the anointing's on me. There's times I can tell it's just not. And one sweet person in this church came up to me and said, Pastor, I've never heard you preach when you weren't anointed. And it wasn't my wife. I thought, thank God. You are now a permanent member of this church for life. Amen. Now, how many understand? No, there's times, and every preacher knows this, there's times the anointing's stronger than it is at other times. There's times it's not as strong. You know, we don't always know the reason it's the Lord tell us. Sometimes it's the preacher. Sometimes I think a lot of times it's the people. So a lot of times. And so, you know, all that, but here's the thing about it. Here's what I've learned. I've had people come up to me after I've preached a message, and it wasn't, I didn't feel like it went very well at all. I felt like, man, thank God that's over with. I know if I'm glad that it's over with, they got to be glad it's over with. And so, and I've had people come up to me and say, that changed my life. I thought, well, gosh, who were you listening to? So you can't judge it by your feelings. The word works apart from feelings. Amen. You know, kids can say, well, I'll do that when I feel like it. How many know you're going to tell them? I'm going to give you some feelings. You need feelings? We can give you some feelings. Amen. But the word, listen, the word's key to our prayer life. See, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and you'll have it. It'll be done for you, see. So if it's a matter of word. Remember Jesus said that some people receive the word and they bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Well, that's the way our prayer lives is. The more it's based on the word and the more we rely on the word, the more fruit we're going to have in our prayer life. Amen. See, we can't judge it by how we felt or whether it came to pass immediately. We judge it by the word. And I believe it's possible. I'm not saying that any of us are doing it, but I believe it's possible to get 100% answers. Because Jesus said 30, 60, 100. And I know the church, when I was coming up in it, there were some that taught that God determined whether you were 30, a 60, or 100. No, that's not true at all. God's no respecter of persons. He wants us all to have 100. It's up to us how much we're willing to stand on the Word after we've prayed about something. We find out something is the will of God by the Word, but then if it doesn't come to pass immediately, then we have to do some standing. And in that standing part, we have to stand on the Word. And we have to fight with the Word. And if you only fight 30% of the time with the Word, you're only get 30% results. You're only fighting 60% of the time with the Word, you only get 60% results. But if you're willing to go 100% with the Word, you can get 100% results. Amen. Does that make sense? Yes. It's not up to God, it's up to us. Whether we want to be 30, 60, or 100. I don't know about you, I like 100. I'm not saying that I am all the time, I wished I were. But that's not God's fault, that's my fault. I just admit, there's been times I've gotten lazy. Just said, well, give up. This is too much trouble standing. Well, when you think about it, what's the alternative? Do without the blessing? Amen. Are you with me now? Now, all right, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Yeah, I want to read a verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we have to base our prayers on the Word, not on our feelings or not on what we want, but what the Word says, you know. And of course, you know, how many know if you let the Word abide in you, you'll want the same thing God wants anyway. Amen. See, if the Word's abiding in you, it changes you. So you'll want what God wants. You'll want whatever His will is. Amen. And how many know we can know the will of God? We don't have to pray every time to find out the will of God for certain things. Now, certain things we may have to pray to find out the will of God. For instance, if you're looking at two houses and you want to know which one to buy, you can't find that in the Bible. It says buy the one, you know, on Center Street. Center, not Center. Center Street. How many of you can't find that? So what are you going to have to do? You're going to pray and find the will of God. But there are certain things you don't have to find the will of God out. It's already in His Word.
Right. Come on now.
Amen. You know, when you're a kid, you know, you begin to learn your parents' will and what their will is and what their will isn't. And so you just learn there are certain things you don't need to ask for. Amen. I remember when we were kids, we didn't have all the stuff that they have today. We didn't have any electronics. We played outside. See, I live in a subdivision. It's just quiet as could be, just as quiet as it could be. The only time there's any noise is when somebody's out mowing their yard. That's about it, because the kids don't play outside.
Right.
I'm not complaining. I'm kind of glad of it. But anyway, but you know, when we were kids, we had to go outside because there wasn't anything to do inside. It was all outside. Besides that, parents would throw you out. They'd make you go out.
Come on.
You come back in, icicles hanging off your chin. It ain't cold out there. Get back out there. But Daddy, my fingers are blue. They're all right. But, you know, we didn't have all that. I remember we'd get like soda on Friday night. That was a treat. You can get that all week long. Let's see kids here that say, man, you guys were abused. No, we didn't have that. We just didn't have that kind of stuff. We didn't have 700 channels on TV. We had four, and you couldn't get all of them at the same time. You had to go out and move the antenna around. Come on, anybody old enough remember that? Sure. We had one of those antennas, those triangle towers that went upside of the house, you know, and had the antenna on top of that. You'd have to get up there and move that by hand. And Dad, we were the movers. Dad'd be wanting to watch Gunsmoke. And that's on channel 10. So he had to change channels from what he's watching previously. So he'd send us kids out to get up on top of the roof and move that thing. Yeah, I'm telling the truth about it. I'm not making any of this up. I mean, he'd get one kid at the door. Dad didn't ever leave the recliner. I don't know if you know this or not, but they had remotes in those days, too.
Yeah.
They were called kids. Dad never got up to change the channel. I can't ever. No, listen, I'm telling the truth. I can't ever remember him changing the channel on TV. He always hollered at one of his kids, change the channel. What do you think I had you for? And so one of us, you know, maybe my sister would stand at the door, and then I'd climb up the tower, and Dad would say, move it, and I'd move it, and he'd tell her, and then she'd yell at me, and we'd move it till we got the picture in. That's how we watched TV. Somehow we survived. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? Listen to me. God, it's that all of God's promises, they're not based on how we feel. Whether we feel the anointing or we don't feel the anointing, or we feel like God answered us or we don't feel like God answered us, or whether it came to pass immediately or it didn't come to pass immediately, it's based on the Word. Amen.
Amen.
And so we have to know that. We don't know that. And then see, you could just be led around by the devil in your prayer life. I mean, he can bring feelings. How many know that? I'm convinced some of the things sometimes when... Like in my life where, you know, I've had days where I felt like down or beat up. It's just the devil. That's all it is. You just need to learn to rebuke it and not yield to it. Amen. Now, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible says for 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, for who's known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, how do we have the mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ by God's Word. So if you read what Paul's talking about, he's talking about God giving them preaching the Word. We have the mind of Christ by the Word of God. So we can actually have the mind of Christ in prayer. We can know what Christ thinks about a situation in prayer by going to the Word. Now, how many know, how many would rather pray His mind than your mind? Now, I remember, you know, I saw this one time years ago, and I hadn't seen this before, but it hit me. I was reading in 1 Corinthians where it talks about he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. speaketh not unto men, but unto God. You may remember heard that scripture. And he went on to say, Paul said later on in that same chapter, he says, when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays, but your understanding is unfruitful. Now, I was reading that one day and it hit me. Wait a minute. Look, everything you do in life, you have to do by understanding. Everything. Everything has to be done by some kind of, just to get out of this building, you have to have some understanding of how to get out.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. See, if you're new here and you say you needed to go to the restroom, you may have to ask, where's the restroom at? Right? Because you don't have the understanding. Right? But if Brother Greg comes up after the service this morning and says, Pastor, where's the restrooms at? I'm going to say, he needs some prayer because there's something wrong. Because I know he's got the understanding. He's been in them several times. I don't know that by revelation. I'm just assuming he's been there. I know he's been in there under construction. He was in there. So he knows where they're at, right? All right, see? And he's even got enough sense to know which one he's supposed to go into.
Amen. Come on.
It says M-E-N. He is a M-A-N or an M-E-N. He's a men. I do have to confess I went in the wrong one at whatever that restaurant was one time here in town, Zaxby's. Yeah, I was during the height of the controversy going on about what bathroom you're supposed to go in. And I'm thinking, can you imagine what other countries think about America that they can't even get it figured out what bathroom they're supposed to go in? I probably think, man, it ain't long before we're going to own that place. Yeah. They're that dumb. And so I'm running in Zaxby's. I'm in a hurry. And my wife can tell you, sometimes when I get in a hurry, I'm not paying the greatest attention about anything. And I'm in a hurry, and I ran in there, and I see it said hen. You know, they had rooster and hen. Well, I didn't pay any attention. I just saw hen, thought it said men. I just push that door open and walk in there like I own that place. My first thought was, wait a minute, there's no urinals in here. I thought, oh, well, whatever. Like, times change, you know. So I go into a stall, and I'm in a stall. It hits me. Wait a minute. There is a reason why. You are going to make the news, son. Pastor goes in the wrong bathroom. I thought, oh man, don't let anybody come in here till I get out of here. Thank God they didn't. Hallelujah. The only reason you know is because I told you. All right. But how many understand? See, we have to have understanding no matter what. Even simple things in life, you got to have some understanding. If you're going to drive home, you got to have some understanding. See. So when I read that and it said that if you speak in an unknown tongue, your understanding's unfruitful. I thought, no, wait a minute. If I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying in tongues, and I'm not using my understanding, I got to be using somebody's. And you read an Amplified Bible, it says, your Spirit by the Holy Spirit within you prays. So I thought, wait a minute here. When I'm praying in tongues, I'm using the Holy Spirit's understanding. Now, I'll take His understanding over my understanding any day of the week. Hallelujah. He's the one that created this whole earth. I'm going to take His understanding. Well, see, when we have the mind of Christ, when we find out what the Word says, we have the mind of Christ. And when we have the mind of Christ, we're not praying with our mind. We're praying with His mind. Right. Now, what He has to say is far more important than what we'll ever have to say. Right. What He's already said, right? So we can go in, we can find out what He said by His Word. Yeah. Hallelujah. And pray the mind of Christ. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. See, they'll give spirit and life to your prayers, and so your prayers just aren't fleshly. Amen. Amen. You know, Brother Hagin used to tell some stories about prayer, you know, that he would run into, and some of them were really good, you know. He talks about people praying, and he'd say, I'd ask him, what are you praying about? I said, oh, nothing in particular. He said, well, that's what you're going to get. You know, and there is times we just fellowship with God. I understand that. But you could have said, I'm just fellowshipping with the Lord. Amen. But you know what? In like one time, one lady said, you know, she was wailing and going on to the altar. And Brother Hagin, finally, he said, she just got so bad about it. I thought she was going to wake up the neighborhood, you know. So he said, he stopped her and said, he said to her, "Sister, what is it you want the Lord to do for you?" She said, "Oh, Brother Hagin, just to take away this old snuff." She was a snuff dipper. How'd you like to kiss that? But anyway. All right. And Brother Hagin said, "Well, he ain't going to take away this snuff. He's not a snuff dipper." How many know we're asking God to do something we're supposed to lay aside? The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin. You could ask God to help you lay it aside, but don't ask Him to take it because He don't want it. Is that plain enough? You got to lay it aside. Now, when you go to lay it aside, how many know God will help you when He sees you're serious? You understand that? He'll give you His power. He'll help you. But you got to do the action. What some people want is, "God, just do this and I don't have to do anything. I don't have to suffer." You know, sometimes laying things aside is suffering. Anybody ever tried to lose weight? No, it's suffering. Isn't that right? See, if your body's used to getting two pieces of pie, it rebels at one. Doesn't it? I heard a pastor say, you know, people do things, you know, thank God we love people, but sometimes, whew, they help you get fat. Heard a pastor say, talking about how he liked pecan pies. He said, you know, he said one Christmas here at church, he said, I think it was 14 he got. He said, "I didn't throw one of them away." He ate them all. Well, I mean, no, if you have issues, then you're to blame, right? You can't ask the Lord, "Lord, take those pecan pies away." No, you got to do something. He should have gave some of them away, froze them or something. Yeah. Give them to the dog. Dog know what to do with them. Amen. How many follow what I'm saying? So you can't. See, sometimes we're praying and asking God to do things that it's really our responsibility to do. Now, once we make the decision to do it, then He'll help us with His power. But we got to take the step first. There's not even any reason to pray about it. You just do it. I'm going to tell you what now. You pray and asking God to help you to stop overeating, it's probably not going to do a thing. Because what you want Him to do is you want Him to make you, listen, you want Him to make you not want to do it. That's your job. Why is it so quiet in this Presbyterian church? That's our job. Now, will He help us? Yeah, He'll help us, but you got to make the move first. It's your move. Then He'll help you. Yeah, of course He'll help you. But the thing of it, you got to do is say, "I'm making a quality decision. I'm not eating 14 pecan pies. I'm not even going to eat one of them. I'm going to eat a piece of it. I'm going to be, everybody, moderation. Everybody ever heard of that word? Well, I got to get off of this. Talk about not feeling anything. I'm not feeling any love or anything else coming from you. Go to Isaiah 43. Go there. Isaiah 43. So we have to understand. See, a lot of times we're praying about things and we don't have any word to really pray that prayer. Matter of fact, if we look the word, it'll take, you know. Well, let me just give you another example. How many know it's a waste of your time to ask God to take the cares off of you? Now, why is it a waste of your time? Because He already said, "Cast them over on me." Now, what He said is, if you cast them over on me, if you cast them over on me, I will take care of them. But you have to do the casting, not God. Come on. Do the removing. You've got to cast them. How many know that faith without works is what? It's dead. So we got to take the step of faith. Amen. See, a lot of people will never get their deliverance, get their healing, get their help until they just do what the Word says do, until they just obey the Word. Amen. See, if you eat the wrong foods all the time, this isn't a health class, but if you eat the wrong foods all the time, then you're liable to get some physical problems, and there's no amount of prayers going to fix that. You got to fix what you're doing. Now, I'm not one of these kind of, I'm not a health food, and I think you know that, I'm not a health food nut. But I do realize there is abuse.
Come on now.
Amen. Come on. I mean, you know, one time I lost 40 pounds, and I didn't go on any, and I'm not knocking you if you do this, if it's helped you, it's fine. I didn't go on any weird diet. I didn't even change what I ate. I just changed the amount that I ate. I still ate pizza. I still ate Krispy Kreme donuts, just not seven at a time. You're laughing, but I did it one day here at church in the house of the Lord. I went by, people were working at church, and I'm a nice little pastor. I go buy Krispy Kreme to get a dozen donuts for them to eat. And they said, well, we're just too busy, Pastor. I said, hey, I got some donuts. Oh, well, we're busy, Pastor. We're busy. Said, well, fooey on you. I ate seven. There, five left between y'all. You want to be that way about it? Only good sense kept me from eating the other five. What good sense I had left after the seven. See, you understand. See, you could do things like that, and you could ask God to heal you, but if you're going to, now you might do that once in a while, but if you did that every day, have you know, and you get, you say, well, I don't know why my sugar's out of the sky high. Well, I do. That isn't nothing but pure liquid sugar you're eating. Why are you all sneering at me? Whatever. Help me understand what I'm saying, right? I mean, is it making sense to you? See, it'd be really, you're going to have to correct that before God can get you delivered of fat, sugar, right? See, some people's problem, they're creating their own problems, right? All right, now, so when we come back to the Word, you know, if it doesn't do us any good to pray for things that the Scripture tells us to do something different about. See, our prayers have to be what? Word-based. What's the Word say about it? See, the Word doesn't tell us, oh, God, Lord, just take all these cares away, take all these cares away, take all these cares. No, He said, you cast them over on me. You stop doing that. You cast it over on me, and I'll take care of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in the Bible here in Isaiah chapter 40, come on, you getting something this morning? Isaiah 43 verse 26, I like this scripture. It says, put me in remembrance. This is the King James. It says a little different in the other translations. It says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Now, I like the part, put me in remembrance. I want to talk about that because how many know to put somebody in remembrance, what do you got to do? But what do you got? You got to remind them. But what do you got to say? What they've already said. See, if you said, Pastor, I'm going to take you out and buy you a steak. Well, guess what? I might remind you of it. If I got hungry for steak, I might remind you. I might say, hey, you remember what you said? I probably wouldn't. But, you know, if I want to get some action, I'm going to have to remind you, right? I'm going to have to say, remember, you promised me you'd take me out and buy me a steak. See, all I'm doing is telling you what you already said. So when God says, put me in remembrance, what's He saying? Tell me what I already said. Look at Isaiah 62. I want to show you this again, Isaiah 62. So what do we, when we put Him in remembrance, what are we doing? We're telling Him, we're quoting His Word back to Him. We're saying what He already said that He would do. And you will find, let me read this scripture, I think, before I say the next comment. But let's read Isaiah 62, verse 6. Isaiah 62, 6. The scripture says, I've set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Now, in verse 6, where the King James here says, make mention of the Lord, ye that make mention of the Lord. My cross-reference says, and I've checked this out for accuracy, it says, you that are the Lord's remembrancers. You that are the Lord's remembrancers, you that put the Lord in, remind the Lord. See, and I checked it out with the Greek, or the Hebrew, excuse me, and found out that's exactly what this is saying when it says, you that make mention of the Lord. It means you that make mention, you that remind Him of what He said. Notice verse 7, give Him no rest till He establish and till He make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Listen to the sound of the Amplified Bible. I like the sound of the Amplified Bible. It says, I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day or night, you who are His servants, and by your prayers, put the Lord in remembrance of His promises. Keep not silence, give Him no rest until He establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise in the earth. So it says in the Amplified, which is the same thing the King James is really saying, is that we're to, by our prayers, we're to remind God of His promises. We remind him what he said. He said, put me in remembrance. Remind him what he said. Now, I've learned this in my own prayer life. Now, you have to do whatever you feel is right. You know, you get a lot of, well, should we pray something twice or should we not pray it twice and all that? Well, here's what I would say to you. You should pray in faith. Now, let me tell you how I handle it. You do what you want to with it. But, you know, there's times that I don't want my prayer to die out in my life. What do you mean? Has anybody ever prayed for something and then 2-3 weeks later it was all gone, you forgot about it? I don't want that to happen, see. So what I learned to do is this. One thing, and I'll teach you on this in this series, Thanksgiving, thanking God, keeps our prayers alive.
Amen.
Keeps them alive. But another thing, and I think this is what the Scripture is saying, is we remind God of what He said. Now, Lord, you know I ask you for that. Remember what you said. Isn't that kind of what Moses did? Remember your covenant. Remember we've been teaching on covenant? Remember your covenant. He reminded the Lord what he said, see. I think God likes that. I don't think he gets offended over that. I actually think he likes it. I think he likes it that we know what he said, that we've taken the time to find out what he said about something. Amen. You know, in other words, we've done our homework, see. I always remember when Brother Greg first came to our church, and I've told this story before, but it really impressed me. It really, of course, he's an engineer. He's a thinker and a stinker. And but I was thinking about something he did, you know. He came to our church once, and, you know, then he called me. He called the office and wanted to know if he could have an appointment to talk with me. And he comes in my office, and he's got this yellow legal pad with about, I don't know, several questions. I don't know how many you had, brother, but he had several on there, you know. And he said, "Well, I forget what you said now, brother, but you said something about, you know, you probably think this is crazy. You know, I got these questions. You know, do you believe in healing? Do you believe in this? And you know what I'm saying, going down the line." I said, "No, I don't think you're crazy. I think you're smart. You're not going to waste your time, and you're not going to waste my time. If we ain't a fit, you don't need to even waste your time, right?" Because he knew what he was looking for, and I knew I wasn't changing. Right? I wasn't going to change my beliefs so I could have another member. Right? So we might as well just get this taken care of real quickly. So I didn't get offended at all. I told him, I think you're really smart. You know what you're looking for. He was looking for a church that, you know, believed in divine healing, that preached faith, you know, that believed in the promises of God, that believed in the things of the Spirit. He was looking for all that, and we checked all the boxes, and we can't get rid of him. And we don't want to get rid of him.
That's right.
See what I'm saying to you is see, that I wasn't offended by that. I really thought that was smart, see.
Amen.
And I don't think God gets offended when we tell him we know what he said.
Amen.
I think he gets impressed. Well, if you can impress God, you know what I mean. I think he respects that we've taken time to read his book and find out what he said. So there's times I'll remind God. Now, God, you remember in your word, you know, divine healing, you said by your stripes I'm healed. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sickness. Now, I'm just reminding you, I asked for that healing and I thank you for it. See what I'm saying? I am one of the Lord's remembrancers. Reminding him, like the Amplified Bible said, reminding him of his promises through prayer. Reminding him, this is what you said, Lord. And I know you'll do right. You think God gets aggravated? I think God smiles at it. Brother Hagin said one time, you know, the Lord told him something. He actually had a vision of Jesus, and he said the Lord told him something. He said, you know, he said it's unscriptural for the church to ask me. Jesus said this to Brother Hagin. He said, it's unscriptural for the church to ask me or God the Father to do anything about the devil. And Brother Hagin, and the Lord told him, he said, to ask me, Jesus said, to ask me or God the Father to do anything about the devil is to waste one's time. Brother Hagin said, I said to Jesus, I've sure wasted a lot of time. He said that was contrary to anything they preached or believed in those days. They didn't realize they had authority over the devil, and they had the responsibility to use their authority. They didn't know that. They didn't realize that. Basically, God's done all he's going to do about the devil until he throws him in the lake of fire or binds him for 1,000 years. See, Now we got the authority, see. All right, so he, now Brother Hagin said this. He said, I said to Jesus, now he's seeing Jesus in this vision. He said, I said to Jesus, he said, Lord, I know I'm seeing you. I know you're standing before me. He said, but I can't accept that. See, it was just contrary to his, what he'd always been taught. He said, you'll have to give me two or three witnesses from the scriptures to prove that to me. He said, Jesus didn't get mad. He said, actually, he smiled. He said, I'll give you one better. I'll go four. Brother Hagin said, well, Lord, if there's four in there, I sure don't know about it. He said, son, there's a lot in here you don't know about. Think about it. The Lord didn't get mad. He wants us to base our lives on His Word. Because that's security, brother and sister. That'll keep you straight. Amen? So, once again, there's things we pray about that the Bible just tells us to go do. Do it. And if we do it, God will help us. But there's not much reason, there's not much use in praying about it if it's your responsibility. Amen? You know, I'm looking forward to spring. How many are looking forward to spring?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And you know what happens in spring? I'm going to tell you what happens in spring. I have to get the lawnmower out. Now, I don't even pray about it. I don't even pray, God, if it's your will, I'll go mow the yard. No, I already know it's her will. See? You see, I'm being a little silly, but have me understand, sometimes we're asking God to do things that the Word never tells us He'll do. It tells us to do it. Lay aside things. Will God help us? Absolutely help us. But we got to make the step to lay it aside. Come on, are you learning anything this morning? All right, now let's, I'll tell you what, we're out of time here. But let's go to Acts chapter 4 and we'll close right here. Acts 4. I'm going to skip some teaching on this, but that's all right. We'll be fine. Acts chapter 4. I want to just show you something, see. In Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. You know, when we incorporate the Word in our prayer lives, man, the blessing starts coming up. The curse starts going. God told Jeremiah, He said, I put my words in your mouth. Hallelujah. And He said, I'll watch over my Word. I'll hasten, the King James says. I'll watch over. I'm ready to perform my Word. But it's got to come out of our mouth, see? It doesn't return to God void. It comes out of our mouth. Praise God. Now, in Acts chapter 4, and this is it for today. Acts 4, verse 23. Let me give you the background to this before we read this. Peter and John have been arrested and have been chastised for preaching in the name of Jesus by the authorities. And so they've just been released. And the Bible, verse 23 says, and being let go, they went to their own company. That's a good place to go. Amen. Hallelujah. And reported unto the chief priest and the elders, and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. In other words, they told them, you stop preaching in Jesus' name. And when they heard that, notice what they did. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Did you know what? All they're doing right here is quoting scripture. This is Psalm 143. Plus it's some other scriptures. So they're just praying the Word. I said, they're praying the Word. Notice, who by the mouth of your servant David, here we go, they're going back to the Psalms, going back to the scriptures. This is Psalm 2. Said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. See, this is all scripture right here. They're praying. See, they're just showing God. See, they know what God said. God said in Psalm 2, God said, when they come against the Lord and His Christ, the Lord will sit in the heavens and laugh. He'll hold them in derision. So they're just going to the Scripture and saying, Lord, this is what You said You'd do. Amen.
Amen.
See, they're just going back to the Word. And the Bible says in verse 28, verse 27, it says, for of a truth against your holy child, Jesus, whom You have anointed, Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Well, how many know that's all scriptural? They're supposed to speak the word with boldness, right? By stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. See, I'm just showing you, these people prayed according to the word. They prayed scriptural things. They didn't say, oh, God, undertake, help us. Oh, God, help us, intervene. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, they're going to kill us. No, they said, now, Lord, you're in charge here. You made heaven and earth. That's what the word says. You're in charge. Are you following me? See, they're praying the word. They're not praying their problem. They're praying the word. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. They have a problem, but that's not what they're focusing on. They're focusing on what God, on God. And verse 31, God must have liked it because it says, when they prayed, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Wow. So what are you saying, Pastor? Well, see, find scriptures that back what you're asking for. Amen. Now, you know, like I said, and I know I've gone a little long here this morning, but like I said, well, not really, I hadn't even gone an hour yet, but like I said, you go find what the Word says. You go find the scriptures. There are certain things in life that the scriptures don't address. They don't tell you what job to take. They don't tell you what house to buy. They don't tell you those things, but they do tell you that the Lord will lead you. You go find those scriptures. Lord, you promised to lead me. Trust in you to lead me. Amen. I'm not going to make a mistake because you said you'd lead me. See, you base your prayer on the word. Amen. You don't go in there and pray for somebody, Lord, if you don't heal them, they're going to die. Well, that's obvious. That's obvious. See, you have to find out, what does the Word say? Amen. Amen. Some people don't know that. But you and I, we should know that. Amen. We should know what the Word says. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Did you get something today? Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for the Word. Yes. So thank God for the Word. It has all the answers to life right here. 66 books in here, and there's an answer in there for you. Hallelujah. Got financial needs? Guess what? Bible calls him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and who provides. The scripture says, my God shall meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. I'd pray those things. I wouldn't be praying, oh God, we're not going to make it if you don't undertake. Come on, how many are old enough that you were in the church, and you remember that? I've been around a little longer than some of y'all, but I remember being around some of the old Pentecost. They used to, oh God, undertake. Now they had a lot of good things. They knew the power of God for sure, but there was a lot of things in faith they just didn't get. God, undertake. Well, God's not an undertaker; He's an overtaker. Right. Oh God, if you don't come through, old cousin Jim's going to die. Well, there isn't any word in that. There's just death in that. Find out what the Bible says. Amen. You say, well, I'm battling with depression. Well, how about Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3? The Bible says he'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yes. Oil of joy for gladness. Mm-hmm. Pray that. Don't be praying yourself in a ditch. Like Brother Capps used to say, he said, you find yourself in a hole, quit digging. That's what people do with their prayers. They're in a hole and they're digging deeper. It's like they're not giving God anything to work with. Amen. Amen. And be bold about it. And be, you know, the Bible talks about, Jesus said, talk about praying with importunity. What does that mean? Man, persistence. I mean, being bold about it. This is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's going to be. Amen. You know, and Jesus said, you know, men ought always to pray and not faint. He said, there was a judge, you know, in a city, and a widow woman went to him to say, avenge me of my adversary. And the judge wouldn't for a while. And then after a while, he thought, you know, I don't fear God. And I don't respect man. But he said, because this widow woman's not going to leave me alone, I'm going to give her what she wants. Now, I mean, you know, God's not an unjust judge, and he's not withholding. But the point that Jesus was saying was, look, her persistence got her what she wanted. And he was saying, when I come, shall I find that kind of faith on the earth? persistent faith that doesn't quit. Amen. You know, I've been standing and believing God for some things for quite some time. You remember I told you I had seven things. Three of them went away really quickly. I like them to all go away quickly. How many like your problems to go away quickly?
Amen.
You like the blessings to stay around a long time. Amen. Problems go quickly. But sometimes they don't, do they? Or am I the only one that has to fight these extended battles? If I am, please teach me what you know. All right? I want to know. But I've just learned through life, you know. And I just noticed just the other day, I said, well, you know, there's four of those still hanging around. But I noticed the other day, wait a minute, there's one of them. That thing's severely been weakened. It's almost totally gone. I thought, thank God I've been standing since June of 2021. Got it written down when I prayed about it. Thank God I didn't give up on my prayer. Matter of fact, every day I thank God for my healing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I talk to those places in my body, thank God for my healing. You remind God what He said about it. This is what you said about it. Amen. I'm like that widow woman. I'll be back tomorrow. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, now that's not God. You don't have to do God that way. But sometimes you have to do the devil that way. You have to do circumstances that way. You just have to stay after it and keep applying spiritual power, see. Jesus said, God will avenge you speedily. That's not God withholding. But sometimes we find we're in battles with demons. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're battling demons, right? We have those warfare. We have those things. We just have to stick with it. Stick with it in prayer until the power of God breaks through all that, which it will. I said it will. See, I'm about ready to check that. I'm just about ready to check that other one off the box, and now just leave three. And when they're all checked off, I can take any 20-year-old man in this place, put them to the mat. Hallelujah. If I can't, Kenny will jump on you too. Yeah. We'll both get you. That don't do it. We'll sick Emily on you. She'll put you out of your misery. Amen. How many understand that sometimes we just have to be persistent in prayer? What does persistent prayer mean? What does that mean? It means we just keep begging God and begging God and begging God. No, it means we don't give up on our prayer that we prayed. We don't let go of it. We keep thanking God for the answer. We keep, or for the manifestation. We keep thanking Him for the manifestation. We keep reminding Him of His Word. This is what you said, and that's what I'm standing on. I'm not budging an inch. This is what you said. And you're not a man that you should lie. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.